Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 43, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Thursday, August 9th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien, walking down the street. Jack O'Brien, his hot takes can't be beat. Jack O'Brien, I don't believe. That was courtesy of Matt Burlingham. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
All I can say is that Miles' life is pretty great. I like watching the Zeitgeist every day.
All right. So, yeah, that's Brian Mellon. From Taylor Lang at T underscore JB underscore L. So.
Both impressionist AKs
yes,
today,
yes,
I feel
yes.
like. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by
who that?
The number one position on the Mount Zeitgeist. Mount Zeitmore, I mean. She is Jamie Loftus, a.k.a. Jamie Nine Loft Balloons Us.
Ooh, wow. I like that.
Okay.
AKA Lil Zam, AKA Yamalofto.
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 Jamie, we're going to get to know you even better somehow. But
yikes.
First, we're going to take our listeners through what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about Papa John's. Still not doing great. We just like to check in with them every once in a while. And a survey about restaurants that is the news story that has made me most skeptical that a blue wave is coming.
Okay.
I'll explain why that is. We're going to talk about the tape that was recorded of Debbie Nunez. Talking that garbage.
Just giving up the goods on tape.
We're going to talk about the GOP Swamp Boys.
Swamp Boys.
Swamp Boys.
We're going to check in with what people are thinking on the right. The free speech argument around Alex Jones. Rudy is reporting that this whole thing's about to blow, man. You guys are going to hear some crazy stuff, QAnon and stuff, and why Trump's core still loves him. And then I'm going to fix the Oscars. But great. First, Ooh. Jamie.
Just one man to fix the Oscars.
No, I'm doing my backlash to the backlash we had yesterday against this new Oscars idea, because everyone's right. against it.
Whoa.
But I have figured out how to make it work.
The counter-counter.
The counter-counterfactual.
This means you're agreeing in the end, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you're
yeah.
So at the end of the day, a company man.
But first, Jamie, what is something from your search history?
Ooh, Lawrence Wright Young, my most recent addition to the crush roster of men who are practically dead, is Lawrence Wright. He wrote Going Clear. Uh-huh. I saw Three Identical Strangers yesterday and saw him, and I was like, you know, he's a great writer. I'm not going to objectify him, which was something mentioned in the Bechdel cast reviews very frequently.
Objectifies men.
A lot of MRAs hit the iTunes and they were like, objectifies men, one star. But I wanted to see what he looked like young because I was like, looks like he'd be handsome. And I was right. Also, yeah, Oscar that. Isaac wife height. Got a tall ass wife.
How tall is she?
She's like over 6 feet tall.
And is he a tall man or a small man?
He is 5'9", but seeing pics of them together, you're like, wait, what's happening? I mean, he's like an average height man.
It's like she's a looming tower over him.
Ooh.
Lawrence Wright joke. Right? I call him Larry because I'm so familiar.
There he is.
Boom, boom.
Checked in.
For all my right heads out there.
Jamie, what is something that's overrated?
Heterosexuals earnestly trying to make each other come. Done. Boring. It's 2018. Let's cut it out.
Ironically, try to make each other come now?
Like earnestly. Like I can't think of anything less hot.
Right. No, yeah. I'm wondering what the alternative is, though.
Oh, yeah. Ironically, put on an Invader Zim and then try to make your hetero partner come. No, okay. I think just like abstain and give money to charity. Stop fucking.
Focus. That's how I get energy. My nut off now. Yeah. Give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I donate to the ACLU, I come so freaking hard.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Spread. Yeah.
And what is something that's underrated?
Oh, Blood Orange Mike's Harder Lemonade.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you are a Mike's head. Mike's hard head.
I mean, you have a weird relationship with Mike's.
And that also applies to my life because my dad's name is Mike. But I have just a strange relationship with every Mike I've ever encountered. But Mike's of the harder persuasion, he's got some good flavors and he's got some stinkers. I tried black cherry and it literally is cough syrup that gets you more fucked up than cough syrup.
Oh, shit, really?
It's really
promethazine
bad.
Is too expensive for me.
It's really, really bad. But blood orange is the closest you're going to get to a palatable Mike's flavor.
Wait, what is the... Because you're also blocked by them on Twitter, right?
They did block me on Twitter.
Okay, I just want to get that out there. Because before people go, like, what is she shilling for them? Like, yo, you have a weird relationship. You fuck with them so heavy, they're like, please leave us alone.
I'm trying to shill for them. And they were like, you know, you're really just not sending
you're
a message
that you're really fucking up
want.
Our brand.
Which is crazy. But I would also argue that Mike's harder. And if you, this is going to make it very clear I'm not working for them. I would say they're probably like the number one beverage of like teenage incels.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Where they have this, I've been really weathering the cross promotion of Mike's Harder and Deadpool 2 because it is a match made in marketing heaven.
Right.
Wait, are they officially linked or you just think they should be?
Deadpool's on literally every can of Mike's Hard Lemonade right
Get
now.
The
it's
fuck
killing
out of here.
Me.
Wait, that so is harder thing. Is harder mean more alcohol than the hard?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
8%.
Bro. Oh, so this is malt. It's like a malt liquor, basically.
Yeah. It
Or an IPA.
Malt beverage.
Mike's Harder
they call it malt
will get
beverage,
you fricked. It's like, it's pretty wild.
Get you fricked right
get you
up.
Sorry. After when I like crack a Mike's Harder and then I pop in my pirated copy of Deadpool 2, I get so fricked up. It's pretty freaking crazy.
Getting fricked off the realness.
But if you got to do it, if you have $2 and a desire to get fricked, Blood Orange would be the way to go.
Thing I like about Deadpool is he just doesn't give a fuck, you know?
Nah.
Yeah. He's so, like, he doesn't care.
He's like the guy I know I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Like, we've all got a little bit of Deadpool in
us. We all got a little
DP
in us.
That means a lot that you said that. what is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
Oh, that you should visit your Republican relatives yeah, that you should visit your republic. I visited my very old great uncle over the weekend, and there were hints in the group text before I got there. They're like, oh, you know, he's not as Massachusetts as he used to be, which I interpreted to mean perhaps he is a Republican now. But it sucked because it's like you want to have that conversation and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're selfish and bad. But the asterisk was that he is 89 years old. And they were like, if you make him upset, you could literally kill him. And so
you're navigating a minefield.
It sucked. Like, I got into an argument with my not Uncle Mike, who is my great uncle's childless son, who kept trying to get me to call him Uncle Mike, and I wouldn't. And he's like, hey, do you want a mixtape of my band? And I took it, and it really was the worst music I've ever heard.
Oh, no.
My not-Uncle Mike's Republican band is really bad.
Not-Uncle Mike is a huge
really
Zeithead, so this is really going to hurt him.
Oh, I had to explain to him what a podcast was.
Okay,
but, yeah, so it was like spending the weekend with my Uncle Dick, cool name.
Totally.
That, yeah, he's prone to heart attacks because he is 89, and so he has, like, a heart attack a week. And they're
like,
I don't mean to laugh, but it is like he has heart attacks all that. He doesn't even leave the house when he has heart attacks anymore because he has so many. And so I just had to like sit through him being like, I think Donald Trump's handsome. What do you think? And I'm like, I can't say anything or you'll literally die.
Right.
I can't say anything.
Come on, say something.
Say he's hot.
I know something's going on in there.
Say he's hot.
Is he hot?
Is he hot?
So he's
handsome, right?
That's the real question.
He's a recent convert to Fox and
he voted for Obama twice and the whole bit, and I don't know, it's weird. He lives in Silicon Valley, so hacker zone.
Yeah.
He's living among the hackers, but he's 89 and having a productive conversation with him could literally kill him, which is an interesting metaphor for all baby boomers.
Yeah. And just all fragile conservatives and libertarians.
Yeah.
All those snowflakes.
Call Donald Trump handsome or Uncle Dick will pass away.
We'll die. Please, my existence hangs on your opinion of his looks. I couldn't bear to live another moment if you thought our president was ugly.
Long weekend, tough weekend, and I'm like, I don't know if I handled it correctly. But myth that you should even talk about.
Bother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, should you bother if they are not teetering on the verge of their 70th heart attack?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should upload your Uncle Mike's harder mixtape.
I lent it to someone to bring on tour to bother people with, but I have it. I'll play some of it because he's like, you know, we don't really abide by a genre.
Oh,
it was
shit. Oh, yes.
It is. If Frank Zappa was sharding for literally 2 hours. It's really, he's like, we don't really have a name and we were in Seattle for 12 years and, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm your uncle. And he wrote Uncle Mike on the CD. It was very upsetting.
Wow.
He's addicted to Donald Trump, and he creates the worst music I've ever heard in my entire life.
I now understand your complicated relationship to the name Mike.
There's another Mike. Yeah. Another Mike.
Mm-hmm. Another name is John.
Hot transition.
Woo!
Wow.
You see that
another
little
name
post-pivot
is
right
John,
there?
John, and Papa is one of the Johns. All of this was written out ahead of time. Papa John's is not doing well, guys.
No, they aren't. They just, of course they're not, because you have a fucking wacky avatar owner or founder who refuses to go away and blame everyone but himself. And they just reported their earnings fell by another 6% this last quarter because, Mr. John Schnatter or whatever, he's getting too messy out here in the streets. So they have a new plan, which is to spend $50 million and hire an army of, quote, advertisers and consultants to basically scrub old Papa John's existence entirely from, like, their marketing universe and
right.
be like,
so wild.
We are this whole other thing. I mean, unless you fucking change your name to just, like, not fucking Papa John's. I don't know if how you're gonna distance yourself from
should
this
change
thing.
Change it to Lil John's.
Lil John's, yeah. What? yeah, these pizzas will have. This pizza is okay. Not that good, but. Yeah, so right now, their current CEO is sort of saying, like, their whole strategy is, like, you know, millennials and Gen Zers, they've left us for actually good pizza or just not eating as much pizza. So their whole thing is to try and bring the youngins back in, and they can avoid total destruction. And, yeah. like, they're even talking about pivoting to sort of, like, a more, quote, purpose-driven model, like right. Chipotle is talking about. So I don't know if that means, like...
What is Chipotle doing that has purpose besides...
They have like short stories on their bags, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of the first times I went to Chipotle, there was like a George Saunders quote. And I just, but right. it just made me concerned for George Saunders. I'm like, does he need money?
right.
Is he poor?
Yeah. Right. There's like a Neil Gaiman or whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
I know
there's
like I like
a short story on there.
Gaiman.
I guess their purpose driven thing with Chipotle is. Like being like Tom's or something? I'm not sure.
I'm excited for like Instagram influencers to start shilling for Papa
right.
John's.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like a really hot 17-year-old just like eating a slice and being like, it's not your mom's John's.
Yeah, right. It's not your papa's John's.
yeah, that makes
The way Chipotle has talked about, they say they've demonstrated a little bit of our personality and our sense of humor. And they said the commercials, they feature close-ups of their fresh ingredients and quippy voiceover. And the CEO wants customers to see Chipotle as a purpose-driven lifestyle brand to help people think. What? I just like it's more than just a place to eat.
Yeah.
So.
But is it
a place to have diarrhea?
Right.
Right. To have Frank Zappa's sharts.
sharts. Yeah. I mean, we go to Chipotle occasionally, but I've definitely fallen off that bandwagon. There's a while when like my blood type was Chipotle.
But when we do go to Chipotle, it's because we identify with their quippy voiceover.
Exactly.
You've always said that.
I've always said that as a millennial. I'm like, where's right. the quippy VO at?
I honestly am like, I lost my library card. Where can I go to get some literary, literary stuff? I'm like, oh, I'll just go to Chipotle and take a giant dump while reading the bags. That is nice that one of the poopiest restaurants in the entire world provides you with reading material
exactly,
while
right.
it exits you.
Boom. Yeah.
I don't know. I say don't sleep on the other Papa, sweet little Gino. Do you ever go to Papa Gino's?
No.
It's an East Coast pizza chain. It's don't sleep on Gino's. I hope that Gino is. I used to date the assistant manager of Papa Gino's. Not to freak
okay,
anyone
full
out.
Full disclosure. Thank you.
I have an in at Papa Gino's, or I did in the late 2000s. So I think that Gino's takes this opportunity to be like, there's a vacant Papa throne.
Right.
And he's like, okay, so here. And so Gino's is a cutie pie. He's like a little cartoon who looks like the drummer in the Chuck E. Cheese band, a.k.a. Pasquale.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this is basically a mainly Massachusetts-based pizza brand because
I keep saying Papa
when
Gino's
you when you think of pizza, you think Massachusetts.
We want the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Right, Commonwealth.
Give me the Papa Gino.
I mean, they could change their name to fucking Papa Smurfs, and I think we'd be better.
Right.
Even Papa Doc or
Papa
fucking...
Doc. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fucking Papa Shango. I don't know anything but fucking Papa John's.
Yeah, well, Papa himself, John Schnatter, whatever the fuck his name is.
Schnatter.
okay. he was saying that the reason their stock is actually down is that they're chasing these millennials and they changed their colors.
Colors, yeah.
And the color change is what has them.
Yeah, it's not blaming. It's not blaming. People protesting police brutality.
Like
in the
all
NFL.
All these people under 30 don't understand. The colors.
Right.
And so
that's
because
yeah.
of that.
Right.
Interesting of him to make a color-based argument to
uh-huh.
a fucking
mm-hmm.
idiot.
Yeah. So the thing that people don't understand is the thing people want with their pizza is the same colors as before and like
exactly.
right-wing politics. Like mm-hmm. that's what you want to associate with your pizza eating experience. So now this brings me to the story that has made me the most skeptical that there is a blue wave or, you know, that any rational thing will happen in the future
Suswatch
of America.
With Hacko's Spy.
is so there was a USA Today survey that was based on 22,500 customers in America. They were asked about the quality of products, services, and satisfaction with more than 380 companies in 46 industries. And the limited service restaurants list, I'm going to give them to you in order.
This is fast food?
Yes. A limited service is fast food, right.
What a euphemistic term.
Right.
A limited service.
Top of the list, Chick-fil-A. I'm okay with that. I mean, politically, not great, but
like they're very polite.
I understand where they're coming from, and like their food is satisfying. Panera bread is confusing to me.
Oh, I like Panera.
Yeah, it's nice that they just let you chill there.
Chill there for hours right. while you eat. I used to always eat the Asiago roast beef sandwich when I was in college.
I was the broccoli cheddar in a bread bowl if I could afford it.
Oh, wow.
In college.
All right, money bags, Loftus.
That's
over here.
Where all the moms go to gossip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You want to find
exactly.
out? That is the hot Panera, mom goss. Yeah,
it right. It's always like a Panera near like a gym or yoga studio where it,
next door to a nail salon. Like, yeah, fully the moms. It's the Panera's last stop.
So Panera makes sense because that's where we're going to have our town hall meetings going forward.
Yes.
Right. Like, that is the town.
Meaningful
center.
Discourse will right. take place at a Papa John's.
Number three, Papa John's.
Number three?
The highest rated pizza restaurant, right. the third highest rated fast food restaurant.
Before Domino's?
Way before Domino's.
No.
Next one is Pizza Hut, somehow.
What?
And then Subway.
This like, list is we're, bunk.
What? Subway, no. Subway, yes. they fucking suck. I love the cookies. I occasionally eat the sandwich, but... Yo, the people at the Subways I go to, they act like I'm fucking bothering them every time I ask for just anything. I'm like, oh, can I get a little more of this? And they're like, ugh.
I've had some good discourse at Subway.
Really?
Yeah, I ask, because I always ask where the seafood sensation's at. I'm like, when they bring back the seafood sensation, and they're like, oh, it's good that they took it away. It was really bad.
Right.
It's like
was
asking,
that a seafood salad? Like a mayonnaise like, seafood salad?
It was a jar of mayonnaise with some imitation crab inside of it. And it cost like $10.
So like a shrimp tail.
It was really bad. I used to love the seafood sensation as a young buck.
Wait, and weren't you also the tuna fish eater at Dunkin' Donuts?
I was young tuna.
Yeah, so you just fuck with the fast seafood shit.
I like the gnarliest, mayonnaise-iest, most dangerous food.
Honoring your Bostonian roots, just embracing the sea.
Just mayo-based meat dishes, yeah.
Is Long John Silver's even a thing anymore? Do you know what that is?
But I feel like they just crop up occasionally
right.
at malls.
Fast food.
Yeah, are they doing like
seafood
combination Pizza Hut, Long John Silver type thing? Are they Yum Brands?
Know. Oh, it is like a combo.
Oh, wait, no,
combo
they're
LJ. One.
They're their own company.
Oh.
In eighth grade, when you won the award for being the student of the month in your grade in Lexington, Kentucky, at the public school I attended, the reward was going to Long John Silver's corporate headquarters and getting a tour.
Right, because they're based in Louisville.
Yeah.
Was it cool?
It was so cool.
Really?
Well,
we got to like go in their test kitchen and eat really gross food.
But congrats on Student of the Month, by the way.
Thank you.
Wow. Sorry, no one had mentioned that. I'm really sorry about that.
All a roundabout way of letting you know in eighth grade, I was...
Got it.
A kiss ass.
And you've been to the LJS HQ.
Right, exactly.
Good on you.
Been looking for a way to...
Yeah, Domino's, you know, they should be up there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Domino's is way the fuck down there.
I mean, we came for Domino's, but...
Little Caesars is down there. Wendy's is way down there. Like, Wendy's is... And McDonald's and Taco Bell are, like, way down.
Insulting.
I don't know, but it's confusing to me. I don't know a single person who likes Papa John's. So it suggests to me that there
is... Well, you're in a pizza bubble, bro.
Yeah, are we in a bubble? Are we in a completely different reality?
Yes.
Than, like, have I not been to real America since I was a child
going to
little...
If you grew up eating fast food pizza...
Right.
And you've never had like a good pizza. Of course, Papa John's is the shit. This much in the same way when I first encountered Papa John's, like, yo, do you fucking garlic sauce and like a pepper in there? Like, I was like, this is next level service or whatever the fuck. But then as you expand your horizon a bit and you're exposed to different kinds of pizza, I'm like, wait, this fucking sucks.
Is this a good time to say I've never been to a Papa John's in my entire life?
No, it isn't a good
never
time.
Been
and I let's I'm, edit this out.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Wow.
Now everything you said has no weight.
I grew up Geno's. I grew up Geno's.
I grew up Papa Geno's.
PG. You grew up PG-13.
I grew up PG-13.
I think people know that they should respect your food opinions since you shared that you like Subway fast. Subway
sensation. And Mike's harder blood orange.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And another male name is Devin. Miles, take it away.
Wow.
Whoa.
Crushing it.
Thanks for that alley-oop lob, Brian Shaw. Now let Shaquille O'Neal throw it down, my man. Yes, a boy named Devin. He spoke at a fundraiser in Washington State for Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is the number 4 Republican in the House. So very up there.
So she's the Pizza Hut of the Republican
she's
House.
A Pizza Hut. We will be relating everything back to that.
Exactly. If Paul Ryan is Chick-fil-A, she is the Pizza Hut. So the event was meant to be like a private fundraiser, meaning like no press, just only wealthy Republicans who are all the homies, so you can talk loose in there because ain't nobody listening.
Right.
And we can just tell our secrets because we're all paying so much money to be there. But Fuse Washington, which is like a progressive sort of watchdog organization, they basically had somebody pay the price to get in here and just record the shit to hear what they were talking about. And so we all know about, you know, Devin Nunes and his love for Trump and how he'll fucking do anything to gum up the whole investigation, whether it's the Mueller investigation or the House Intel investigation or fucking Investigation Discovery Channel, whatever it is.
He's a creep.
Yeah, he's just a fucking, you know, he's a lackey.
He's the guy who hopped out of his black car in the middle of traffic to go visit with the president when he got a message from him.
I would love to call him a loser to his face. I think it would really
devastate. It would really hurt. Yeah, it would be devastating.
Yeah.
It would be devastating. And if you saw the photo of him in high school, he's got the sickest mullet. It's pretty chill. He's got like a turtleneck with turtleneck sweater mullet combo that only someone from the Central Valley could rock so seamlessly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so suffice it to say, he is totally all in for Trump and will do anything it takes, including completely sacrificing his own morals and just giving up his ability to feel shame. So during this recording, he said a few things that were very interesting. One of the first things that, like, this is all on Rachel Maddow because she exclusively got the tape and aired it last night. One of the first comments was pretty standard stuff, like not totally surprising, where he was sort of saying, like, you know, the president tweets some good stuff sometimes and sometimes, like, makes you want to cringe and blah, 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 which is a little interesting because normally in his eyes, Trump can do no wrong.
Right.
And also, Devin Nunes has repeatedly been on like the nicer end of Trump's Twitter more than once because he's like, all right, good boy. Thank you for doing what I need. And so then he got a little bit more and more honest, and some more points came out that are unsettling but make sense given his behavior. So one of the first things he says basically admits that if like in a hypothetical world, if you received something from a foreign government and used it in an election that was hacked material, that would be criminal. So listen to this recording of him sort of basically admits that he knows better about what collusion is.
Now, if somebody thinks that my campaign or Kathy's campaign is colluding with the Chinese or you name the country, it could happen. It would be a very bad thing if Kathy was getting secrets from the Portuguese, let's say. Just because I'm Portuguese, my background. So if Kathy was getting secret information from the Portuguese, may or may not be illegal. But ultimately, if that said the Portuguese came and brought her some stolen email, she decided to release those. Okay, now we have a crime, right? If somebody stole the email, gave Kathy released it. Well, if that's the case, then that's criminal.
So what? He basically is describing what is happening right now.
Did he not know he was doing that?
I don't know. I mean, he did a lot of work to not say Russia. He was like, maybe it's the Chinese or Portuguese, because I'm Portuguese.
Right.
If they gave her hacked emails and she released them, that would be criminal. Okay.
He sounds like a high schooler trying to impress his friends by like all but saying it just in case it gets leaked, hacked, zeros, ones. But he, you know, it's like when you're at the lunch table, you're like, guys, we're talking. It's like, no, you're a dork. Shut up. I like that you can hear in that sound clip, you can hear all the tinkling of forks and knives.
Right. And people being like,
it sounds like people who have really impaired motor skills are using silverware because it's so loud.
People, for example, that if you told them Donald Trump wasn't handsome, they'd die in front of you.
Right.
But it is nice that that Subway catered it with all seafood sensations.
Yes. So,
you can tell.
Yeah, it just shows you how blatant he is in his actions, where he knows he's basically trying to obscure criminal behavior by hamstringing the investigations in any way he can. But we knew that, you know, like, obviously he knows better. And then he just shows everybody, yes, I know that if you received hacked information and you used it from another, and it came from a foreign government, that is criminal. Thank you for putting on your hacker glasses, Jamie.
On behalf of the community.
Yeah, thank you.
We, of course, are out there hacking.
Stamp it.
We've always been hacking. Zeros, ones, clicking, delete. Nice.
Thank you.
Take my glasses off.
You're in. Now, then he moved on to talking about Rod Rosenstein and essentially how, you know, it's not that they, you know, like, I think someone asked in the fundraiser, like, oh, what's going on with that? And he was sort of framing it sort of like, well, it's not because we don't want to. It's just like, it's more of a timing thing. So in this, he's going to speak a little bit about why, you know, impeaching Rod Rosenstein would interfere with confirming Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And so they can't confirm him and tear down our democracy at the same time, guys, is sort of what he's saying. And so listen to him explain sort of how he sees the sequence happening if they're going to impeach Rod Rosenstein.
So if we actually vote to impeach, okay, what that does, that triggers the Senate that has to take it up. Well, And you have to decide what you want right now, because the Senate only has so much time. Do you want them to drop everything and not confirm the Supreme Court justice, the new Supreme Court justice? So that's part of why. I don't think you have, you're not getting from, like I've said publicly, Rosenstein deserves to be impeached. I mean, so I don't think you're going to get any argument from most of our colleagues. The question is the timing of it right before the election. The Senate would have to drop everything they're doing and start with impeachment on Rosenstein. And then you take the risk of not getting Kavanaugh confirmed. So it's not a matter of that any of us like Rosenstein. It's a matter of timing.
Okay, wow.
Did you hear someone choked to death on their seafood sensation in the middle of that?
It's tough when your audience is entirely tobacco executives. Right?
So it's just like, harum.
So yeah, when you hear that one, you're like, oh shit, okay. Clearly he still has his plan or agenda to try and impeach Rod Rosenstein. Again, if you don't know who Rod Rosenstein is, he's the Deputy Attorney General of the Department of Justice, and he is in charge of the Mueller investigation because Jeff Sessions recused himself, as he should have, because he has, you know, conflicting interests when it comes to this investigation. Mm-hmm. So their whole thing is, well, if the Mueller investigation starts getting too hot, we can impeach Rod Rosenstein and then put someone else in there that will basically either end the Mueller investigation or just kneecap the thing so it can't really do functionally anything. So when you listen to it, it was a little interesting. We were kind of talking about, like, what's going on here? Because on one hand, you have people like Paul Ryan and other top Republicans being like, there's no reason to impeach Rod Rosenstein or whatever. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's just not going to work. So on one hand, I was like, well, maybe he's telling these donors, like, he's trying to protect his ego about, like, oh, I didn't really take that L like that. It's not like they don't back me. Like, it's just a timing thing. Like, we're going to get around to it.
That makes sense to me.
Which makes sense. But also, when you listen to the next thing he says, I can imagine a world where a lot of leadership in the Republican Party is secretly on board with that because their end game is sort of becoming a little bit clearer. So this is now Nunes sort of basically admitting that if the government functions properly and the Department of Justice does what it does, which is, you know, make sure there's no laws being broken, then Trump's presidency would effectively end, and that's why they have to fuck around so much to keep the president in. So this is him sort of showing his hand in terms of what the end game could be.
If Sessions won't refuse and Mueller won't clear the president, we're the only ones. I mean, we have to keep all these things. We have to keep the majority. If we do not keep the majority, all of this goes away.
So those are the stakes of the midterm election.
Yeah, right? So again, as he says, quote, if Sessions won't unrecuse and Mueller won't clear the president, we are the only ones, which is really the danger. That's why I keep, and thank you for saying it, by the way, I mean we have to keep all these seats. We have to keep the majority. If we do not keep the majority, all of this goes away. So they know that if they lose the majority, that means the Democrats are in power, and now they can really set the agenda of, like, what Trump's future is going to look like. And that's why they're like, well, see, that's why, you know, if we hopefully we keep the majority so we don't have to fully burn the fucking house down and impeach Rod Rosenstein and tear the DOJ down and turn, like, in that sense, to keep the heat off the president. So they're essentially, you know, that's why we have to do this, guys, because it's just us now.
Right.
It's just us. It's just our thin majority.
And the just to be clear and put this all in context, so they're basically saying our last option is to use the Republican-controlled, you know, Congress to, you know, shut the investigation down, because the Trump-appointed deputy attorney general, like, won't shut it down, and, you know, they can't get any other way to shut it down. So this is what it's come down to. And he's, like, one person left who still wants to shut it down.
I hate to bring it back to the forks, but I can't hear anything on that tape other than forks. So there, as that tape goes on, you'll notice the fork sounds diminish. Mm-hmm. And it does remind me of something else that sounds a lot like my not Uncle Mike's terrible Republican band, which is the Jonestown tape, where, you know, it's like it gets quiet as the tape goes on. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of what the whole Nunes dinner is from. Like, are people
slowly winding down, expiring at the table?
So that the hacker news on this is that the seafood sensation everyone was eating was poison.
Oh, wow.
So as Devin Nunes is talking, everyone is slowly dying. And so a bunch of tobacco gods are dead now.
Well, the other thing to notice is Kathy McMorris Rogers, so she had a primary in Washington, and she like barely got out of there, like alive. Like because they also have a jungle primary like in California where the top two vote getters face off in the midterm election in November.
Right.
She barely got in.
Okay.
And for being that high up
in
the party.
So she came in second?
And I think she was first, but like not in a way
not
that like an incumbent should normally win.
Right.
Which I think is another indication too, because this was before the primaries happened, that she was clearly feeling the heat already, and they were kind of in this thing where like, yo, even the number four Republican, like it's closing in on them too. Like people are just sort of getting a little bit weary of their fuckery.
Who'd she almost get beat by? Was it a Democrat or like a further right Republican?
No, it's a Democrat.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, in her primary, she had a lead of a little more than 500 votes.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. In other tape news, Omarosa was apparently taping the president during her time in the White House. We don't know what is going to be on that tape. I'd imagine it won't be much good, but who the fuck knows?
Yeah. I read an article where someone was saying like they, after speaking with people who had heard the recordings, it wasn't really that great. It's like, yeah. You recorded him, but I don't know. Maybe Omarosa isn't. She's only letting people know like I have tapes, but
right.
I haven't showed you the bangers on this album.
Right,
right, right, right.
Shout out to the album Bangers by Miley Cyrus,
one of the greats. Yeah, and her book might have like some Fire and Fury style funsies that we can get.
Yeah,
out of it,
I mean,
we'll see.
Also, I mean, like, what a blatant cash grab, too. Like, if Sean Spicer's book wasn't enough, like, hers just called Unhinged.
They're,
right.
I think all caps.
I do love that title.
Yeah.
Really
it's great. I just
title.
Wish it was someone whose book I'd want to buy called Unhinged.
It might as well just be like, ah! Like,
real monsters.
I go back to that Big Brother tape often in my mind.
Oh, man.
Of her just being like, it's not good.
It's bad.
It's so bad.
So bad.
Which is exactly what I think everybody was assuming, but to see somebody who was previously a big supporter of his be that terrified is still scary. Still a little scary.
Hey, you want to hop in my fan boat and take a trip down to the swamp?
Hell yeah. That's how you do a fucking transition, motherfucker.
Let's check in with the swamp boys. So, man, this week the Republicans, some people in the cabinet, his supporters, are getting in some big fucking trouble. First, the big news I think yesterday was Chris Collins from New York, who was, I think, the first Republican to be like, I support Donald Trump in the election.
Yeah.
Was arrested by the fucking FBI for insider trading. Now, the condensed version of this story is he sits on the board of directors for this pharmaceutical company in Australia. And he found out that, like, one of the clinical drug trials was, like, a fucking failure for, like, their main drug.
Right.
And it's like, ugh, ugh. So he told his son, like, called him in a panic numerous times and was like, Sell this shit up. Because when this shit comes out, we're going to fucking take a bath, as super producer Nick Stump likes to say. Yeah, like a total fucking loss on this. And so now Collins, his son, and his son's soon-to-be father-in-law, his fiance's dad, were all arrested for insider trading because like they avoided like major losses. And now the reason, obviously, if you don't understand what insider trading is, it's because Chris Collins, this fucking congressman, he is a member of the board, so he's privy to non-public information.
Right.
So, and when you leak that to the public for profit, that's when you're getting charged with shit like securities fraud, wire fraud, and stuff like that, because you're defrauding the market essentially
right.
by getting
right.
the jump, because you have information that other people, the general public, doesn't have, and you're manipulating the market.
It's like any like athlete gambling on their own game.
Yeah,
it's
right,
like
exactly.
You have influence over this, so you can't bet on it.
Yep. So, that was... Yeah, that begins to make sense because also, I mean, the second he's been in trouble, I think he was investigated by the ethics committee even last year. Like Mike Pence went and fundraised for him like right after. So he's in really good with the president. So I don't know if that means like Pardon City down the road or whatever, but
I'm sure it does, but what a delight to see him getting arrested.
Well, what's really wild is, so I think it was either like in Buffalo or actually at the Capitol in D.C. is where this journalist overheard it and like even tweeted about it like as it happens, like, just heard Chris Collins say this on his phone. And then now we find this out.
Do you know how much money I made with crimes?
Yeah, essentially.
Such a cartoon cackling villain thing. Like, and now, like, that's just
exposition. For my next crime.
That's just bad writing.
And now for my next crime.
Well, another really great crime, though, and real scam god, is Wilbur Ross. Who,
this is just unbelievable.
Yeah, who looks like, I don't even know.
But oh, I love this.
I call him Commerce Smeagol because he's clearly the greed has destroyed him on the inside. So this whole story starts off with him lying to Forbes years ago to get on the Forbes 400 list because it's like, oh, I'm a billionaire. I'm a billionaire.
It's like
total
lie. My peepee is so big.
Yeah, please get me on the peepee list. And so they believed him. They threw him a freaking bone here and he got on the Forbes 400 list. And so that basically opened the door for him to talk to other wealthy people and point to him being on that list to sort of bring their guards down and swindle them out of more money to the point that he probably did actually get to a billion. but then once he accepted the job as Commerce Secretary, you know, you have to start disclosing all your financial information. And at one point, like, he claimed like he had $2 billion that he gave to his kids, but they're like, there's actually no real evidence that you even had this $2 billion. He's like, oh, well, I don't know. He like had to walk it back in a really odd way. And then, so this basically put him on Forbes' shit list. Because, you know, they don't like when you lie about how big your financial dick is. Okay, that's an original sin.
I'm sort of like okay with people scamming Forbes and being like,
yeah,
no,
of course.
Me have a lot of money. Please, please put my picky in your thing. And then, but also, I don't know.
Well, so because of that, one of their writers has been like on top of Wilbur Ross like a hawk, like every single, like calling every single fucking thing he's doing wrong, like whether it's sitting on stock and like turning a profit when he should have got rid of it. It's like, or where his accounts are held. Like, this guy's just been airing him out. So now, after a little bit of digging, they find out that he's basically, as they say, grifted about $120 million from people he's worked with over the years and has had to settle all kinds of suits out of court and things like that. And so there's this one paragraph that is just really, really hard. It warms my heart. It says, it's difficult to imagine. This is from the Forbes article. The possibility that a man like Ross, who Forbes estimates is worth some $700 million, might steal a few million from one of his business partners. Unless you have heard enough stories about Ross. Two former W.L. Ross colleagues remember the Commerce Secretary taking handfuls of sweet and low packets from a nearby restaurant so he didn't have to go out and buy some for himself. One says workers at his house in the Hamptons used to call the office claiming Ross had not paid them for their work. Another two people said once Ross pledged $1 million to their charity, then never paid. And there are other people who go out of their way to be like, yeah, he's basically what I'd call him a pathological liar. So makes perfect sense. The swamp is rich with these creatures.
Yeah. I mean, it seems coincidental that these people who have supporting roles in the movie about the Trump presidency, you know, Wilbur Ross came out here and was like the one dude supporting his tariffs and shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And it seems coincidental that all these people then keep getting exposed as complete criminal con men, but it's not really, it's self-selecting. These are the people who recognize that a corrupt criminal had become president, and rather than like running away and being like, oh, he's gonna light everything on fire that touches him, they were like, game recognized game.
Yeah,
exactly well, how I got here.
Wasn't Trump lying to Forbes too about his worth?
So everyone's lying to Forbes,
cut from the literal same, like it's the same origins. So they're like, yo, you lied to Forbes too to get the list. Cool yeah, all right,
like, oh, suckers.
All right, gang
I mean, the sweet and low packets detail is gorgeous.
Right.
Like, that is some
true old man shit, too. Like, sweet.
That's
I don't know why.
Great Aunt Mary shit, you know?
Yeah.
Are you still using Sweet and Low? Come on, man. There's better sweeteners out there. Yes, I don't know why I'm mad at the selection of it. Not even
like sir, was there not Splenda there? It is 2018.
I mean, that anecdote could be from the fucking 70s or 80s, though,
right,
too.
That's
you know,
true,
like
that's
this, because the guy's, I'm pretty sure, like, a 9,900,000 years old. So
right.
Yes. Of course, he is immortal. I like also that Forbes estimates he's worth $700 million because they're just not going to give him a billion.
Yeah, like, fuck you.
Right.
No.
Fake ass Billy.
Sorry.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And I just wanted to check in briefly with the alternate universe where Papa John's is the third best restaurant in the universe. Mm-hmm. And
that's the reality, homie.
Yeah. And yeah, so meanwhile, on the right now, the top headline on Drudge is Rudy, quote, "It's about to blow," with a picture of the Capitol building. And basically...
of Trump on a toilet.
Right. Basically, they're just quoting from an interview that Giuliani did on Hannity, where they're just like, the Mueller investigation is just so clearly a setup, and the only illegal thing that's been done is Hillary Clinton paying for that dossier.
Swish.
And both Giuliani and Hannity know more about it, and they just can't say it yet. But oh man, when people find out what they know, they're like gonna blow their stack, because they're reliably pretty like tactful people who play it pretty close to the vest. So They probably know some really good shit. So that is the number one story on Drudge right now.
Fucking fantasy world. That's how you know it's bad, though. They're not even talking about real shit now. It's just like, yeah, this thing's a setup, right?
Right.
Like, wow. Like, you don't even have anything rhetorically like relevant that could possibly be seen as like something that isn't a total fantasy to
it's
be
completely
like
completely stale.
I'm not it's shaking.
Just, mm. The free speech argument around Alex Jones is probably the biggest story of the week. On the right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there are a lot of think pieces out there that are like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a backlash. And even like the ACLU, one of the people over there was like, oh, I don't know, there could be a backlash, you know, just by getting him off of there, it's just going to rile up his supporters and things like that.
Right.
It really bothers me, but it's not surprising at all. I don't know, like the stuff like this is so cyclical that of course, like any like social media, you know, where like Mark Zuckerberg earlier this year essentially like lies on the stand, he's full of shit. All these Silicon Valley bros are of course going to ultimately side with the people who have money and the people like it's so frustrating, but I'm also not surprised at all. Also, Jack from Twitter kicked my ass off for tweeting about figure skating.
Right.
And then he's like, but Nazis are chill.
Yeah,
right.
But you pantomiming shooting Robert Mueller, chill.
Unfucking real.
But yeah, I don't know. The idea of the backlash is a little. I think it's people just playing out their like paranoid, like their paranoia to the nth degree. It's like, well, then that will make the enemy stronger. Now we will have to deal with this. Like, it will strengthen their resolve. But one of the articles I was reading on Wonkette about it brings up a good point and brings up Jack's beloved coal gas study.
What's this now?
I'm not familiar.
Yes, where carbon monoxide gas, where in England they removed that from the gas so you couldn't, it wasn't coming out of your oven, so you couldn't kill yourself in that sense, in that way. Mm-hmm. And that actually led to a reduction in people taking their lives. Right. And, you know, we call it means reduction. Right. And so with
everyone check your bingo cards. Yeah.
And like when you look at
Miles said it, I didn't say a fucking word.
Don't have to take a drink if you're playing along with the DZ drinking game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with in terms of Alex Jones, I mean, super producer Nick Stump was pointing out like how, you know, his app is like number three in the app store and things like that is like maybe pointing to like this added motivation. But I think honestly, the people who are really about the Alex Jones life, they're always going to find his shit no matter what.
Yeah. Right.
It's the people who are casually like around it and being exposed to it and just like it's around. Those right. are the people who like if you cut that off, if they weren't really feeling it or they were just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. That I think that there's a benefit to that because what he's saying is so fucking bad.
Someone on the fence isn't going to download an app. That's just human right. app behavior. If you got to put in your password to do it, you got to really fucking want to do it.
Yeah. People don't use apps that they're not used to using anymore. Like we're through with new apps.
I mean, I have the Kylie Jenner app on my phone
right.
still.
Yeah, I said apps that we aren't already using. Oh, obviously we are all using the Kylie Jenner.
Everyone on a daily basis. By the way, I'm going to make you guys sign up for CoStar, which is the astrology app to see if we can all be friends still or not.
Oh shit.
But
I'll hack it.
They're you're going to you can't hack the stars. Hack the stars. This is our ultimate
the next
hack
movie,
off.
Yeah.
I hacked
the stars.
But yeah, I mean, in addition to the coal gas study, just my experience at Cracked was that.
Another drink.
Facebook started tilting its algorithm just a little bit towards, you know, people who actually paid for traffic and people who advertised with them, essentially. And that, like, destroyed us essentially because it's just like so much of your traffic comes through Facebook, and it's not just that like people will find another way, it's like people use Facebook as if it's the internet and it's the only thing that they use.
Right.
So, you know, that no matter what people say, and despite the fact that his app is like third on the app store.
Well, that just means in the meantime, that's really the only place you can get it. Like whether you're streaming it directly from InfoWars or through the app, that's the only way you're gonna get the content. So I can see why there'd be a bump in that for just right now for people who still need their InfoWars high, they're gonna get it through the app.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the free speech thing is this is a platform. It's a private, it's not a fucking public utility.
Right.
So people being like, well, this is infringing on his free speech. No, if he was arrested and like for saying all kinds of crazy stuff, then maybe you can levy this argument of like, oh, what about his rights or whatever? There is an agreement. Like when you use these, you check the box that you agree to follow by their terms and conditions of how to use their platform. And, you know, every place has it. So when you violate it, sorry, you broke the rules. You got to go.
Right. Yeah, it comes down to like the values of the company itself.
Essentially, yeah.
And so the company, as with most social media companies, showed its fucking hand. And they're like, yeah, our values, this doesn't cross our values.
Right.
And so it just like reflects poorly on that company. But it's also so not surprising because which social media platform owner isn't fully chaotic, like lawful evil?
Right.
Awful. Just, yeah, I don't know. The whole story just like doubled down on stuff I feel like we already know.
Right. But if you even look at like Milo Yiannopoulos, right, he was like a way bigger name till he got kicked off Twitter. And then he's like an afterthought.
Right.
Now.
Breitbart, similar.
Yeah,
thing
Breitbart,
happened.
And he's not on Breitbart anymore. So I think there, you know, people who are his followers, they're gonna stick around all the time. But clearly, like his popularity has completely waned because of, you know, people being like, "Yo, we can't have you're a straight up Nazi, my guy."
Well, and now that you say that, yeah, it's like if Alex Jones, in theory, was taken off of Twitter. If the president was taken off of Twitter, they would have such a reduced presence in the media too, because that's half the way that they get people's attention is like shit everyone can see,
right.
And then if you disagree with it, you're gonna write your take on it, and that just like spreads the, you know, the insane rhetoric that he has. So I mean, I'm sure Milo's saying as crazy shit, but just like we aren't seeing it.
Yeah, because his platform is completely diminished, yeah.
Yeah, like people, I guess, reducing it so that people who disagree with you won't see it unless they go way the fuck out of their way. I don't know.
Yeah, Milo's world has, like, totally crumbled. There was a really interesting article about him. I forget what magazine it was in, but it was like he was planning this big right-wing demonstration at Berkeley, and it turned out, like, he didn't have any of the people that he claimed he was going to have. Like, that, like, Laura Ingraham was going to be there. And it was just all made up. And Berkeley was working with him because they were like, we don't want to block your free speech or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And then as it got closer, they were like, oh, this isn't going to happen. He's just, like, delusional. And it was really intensely pathetic. And I think... Yeah, totally underlines what you guys are talking about, that it's just you need the access or else you kind of just go away.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Pew research study that says that Drudge is focusing on that says that Trump's core still loves him. 8 out of 10 still rate him as 80 handsome. On average, as an 80 on the handsomeness scale. 1 to 10, he's an 80. There's also an interesting detail that I found surprising because I assumed that he just had his followers and they were sticking with him.
Wait, is this 8 out of 10 people that voted for him?
That voted for Trump.
Approve of him? Or
yeah.
That, like, fucking love him.
Yes.
Got you. Okay.
Then there's 10%, or actually over 10%, that were people who didn't like him during the primary. Eventually, when he became the Republican nominee, we're like, okay, I guess I'm going to come around. But now they're down to a 33%, or they rate him on average a 33. Like, they're just like, fuck this guy. Which I assumed those people were out there, but you just don't hear about them very often. And then they're the stans who, like, have liked him from the beginning. And this is, I think, 6% of Trump voters who, you know, they basically interviewed these people during the primaries about Trump, during the general, and then now they're interviewing them again. And this 6% liked him during primaries, liked him during the election, liked him right after the election, and now they're just like completely out on him. So is like a small but significant portion of his supporters.
That's encouraging, at least.
6%?
6%?
Yeah.
Right.
We'll take it.
We'll see. Anyway, just fucking vote, y'all. Just fucking vote.
Right.
Yeah, please,
you hear motherfuckers on tape like Devin Nunes basically telling you how they're going to fuck the country up systematically just to fucking protect this criminal that's the president. And, you know, that's the power that we have in just right now, aside from getting out there and demonstrating things like that. But functionally, yeah. Just come on, man. Let's make the wave happen.
And finally, and most importantly, I have thoughts on the new Oscars idea of creating a popular movie category. So
yesterday we were like, fuck this.
That's so stupid.
Oh, you think this fuck
is,
this?
Well, this is step, like, in my mind, it's like, this is how Bad Baby, The Cash Me Outside, How About That Girl ends up winning a Pulitzer down the road. Like, we slowly begin, like, introducing just popular things into these award shows. But I also get...
I don't hate it.
I also get that it will allow movies that are normally just completely disregarded because they aren't, like, the highest form of art into the thing. But I still need to know. I'm still skeptical because I don't know how they're going to measure
it. Yeah, I think people hear, oh, there's a best popular movie category, and they suddenly imagine that fucking Batman versus Superman would have gotten an award
or something.
Right. So I was just doing like a hypothetical. Okay, what if your cutoff is just you have to make $100 million domestic box office, and that qualifies you as a popular movie or sell a certain number of tickets? The other thing that I think would be interesting message-wise is if rather than creating a new lesser category that was best popular movie, that was still best picture, was the popular movies, and then you had like best art house movie or best like most slept on movie, something that was under $100 million.
MTV?
Yeah.
Most slept on.
Hosted by Carson Daly.
But, you know, something that is basically... whatever fucking euphemism you want to use, it's those movies that didn't make $100 million and probably weren't aiming to make $100 million. Like last year, The Shape of Water would have won this like Best Art House Award, or let's call it Best Movie versus Best Film. So Get Out would have won Best Movie, Shape of Water would have won Best Film. 2016, Arrival, La La Land, Moana, Zootopia all made over $100 million, so they would be nominated for Best Movie. Moonlight nominated for Best Film. And like you just, if you have the two awards and you don't like treat one as lesser, I think it's still like those art house movies still get a lot of attention. They still, you're pointing to them as like a thing that more people should see. So they're like getting additional interest, and you're also validating them on the terms that they were aiming to be validated on. Like, The Shape of Water wasn't looking to be like a massive box office hit. It was focused on the entertainment value or the artistic
mystery.
Value.
And the
mystery of the fish
fucking. And then the butt of the fish. And people go out to see that.
Don't you think inherently that would diminish one? Like, because if people be like, well, film is better than movie.
Right. Or I mean, like, that sort of introduces like an intellectual battle too, where they're like, movies are...
I guess greatest artistic achievement in cinema.
Right.
I don't really understand why people are freaking out about this. Like, I think it's kind of dumb, but there's like categories that would artistically make more sense to add. Like, I'm still blown that there's no like voice acting category or stuff like that, like where it's like artistically that would make more sense. I guess that this just seems like kind of a lame-o, like the Oscars are like, we gotta make people think about us in the summer. Like, it just
yeah,
I'm
apparently
sure
ABC
idea,
went to them because they had all-time low ratings last year, and they were like, you need to do something because we're because you are irrelevant, which is funny that a network would call somebody else irrelevant.
Well, yeah, that's why I guess they're cutting down the time too. Because I think that's the other thing too, is to make it a little more palatable for like international audiences, which could be the other thing too, is like, well, maybe we can get like the Asian market, China specifically, because they consume a lot of films. Mm-hmm. And then if you have the popular film category, then more films that they're more familiar with will be in there, and then that'll drive more viewers. I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's a way to do this that you're more capturing the zeitgeist. I'm a believer that like popular movies are important because they capture like some aspect of what people care about at the time.
Right.
When you actually like look back at years, like the last 10 years, the movies that would be nominated in a over $100 million category tend to be the movies that you think of when you think of that year, like Dark Knight and Wall-E and
Wall-E, huh?
Yeah,
like that European pronunciation.
Wall-E. Inception, Toy Story 3, Bridesmaids, Rango.
Rango.
Super 8.
Whoa, I found out that Jack's a Rango head.
Rango.
But yeah, I guess when you think about the like the Lincoln Lawyer is in that same year, and I'm like, nah, I remember Bridesmaids more than Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's fine that the Lincoln Lawyer gets a shout out, and you know, I think movies that win that award still deserve to be seen more.
I guess that's where the problem, I guess it's weird, because then does that de-incentivize studios developing these films that are a little bit deeper and a little more refined, because in the like in the chase for awards, you're like, well, if we get that other picture, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think I would argue that you are almost incentivizing two tracks. So you could go more artistic with the ones that you're not even worried about making $100 million with. You're just interested in like making the most artistically interesting movie. There's a
prestige
category for that. And then the ones that are aimed at $100 million worth of the audience, you would have an award that you could be aiming at. Maybe you would make like more interesting blockbuster movies, right, because there's the Best Picture Award is actually going to like consider you.
I think, yeah, it will be interesting to see how major releases will start Oscar baiting themselves out, because they've never had to, where it's like a Mission Impossible style movie never is going to be, in theory, is never going to be nominated for an Oscar. So why add elements of it that would get it nominated for an Oscar? But
right,
now it's like, and I don't even know if this is a good thing or not, because Oscar bait is so fucking lame.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to now that this like qualifies as a track of like will blockbusters Oscar bait themselves, and if they don't, do the Oscars just become like more like even less relevant than they already
are?
Or
do you make it like a wild card where like two films, like if you reach the 100 million threshold, then like two of films that achieve that do have to essentially get into the reckoning for Best Picture?
What do you mean?
Like, so that a movie, like, so it's not just like The Shape, like you could have The Shape of Water. I mean, Get Out was nominated anyway, but like, let's, for another year, for example, let's say, like was Mad Max Fury Road, did that get nominated for Best Picture?
Yes, it did.
So that's like, so in a way that made sense, where it wasn't a traditionally like, oh, wow, like this is, I mean, it was a really beautifully executed film, but you know, that rather than having two categories, you just make that space within the Best Picture category for a film that might not have all the artistic value of some of the other films, but due to their sheer, like, how pervasive or, you know, how popular it is, mm-hmm, that means, like, oh, well, then we should also be able to consider this film, or, like, at least the voting members could, you know, nominate it,
right,
or have it be nominated. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, like, 2011, yeah, just going back to Bridesmaids, like, that year, The Artist won. The fucking Artist.
Yeah.
Like, that movie.
Jeez.
Yeah,
so lame.
Nobody thinks about that movie at all anymore.
I think that this will be good for animation.
I agree.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, it gives you more movies to nominate also. It just like expands the number of movies.
I just feel real shitty if like a dumb fucking, like an actually dumb, stupid movie that was just popular, mm-hmm, like wins an Academy Award just because a lot of people liked the marketing of it and went to see it.
But they're not rewarding most money made, right? They're rewarding artistic achievement by a popular movie, hopefully. We, like, granted, I'm arguing on behalf of a group that I can guarantee is going to fuck this up. Like, almost
Walt Disney
definitely.
Corporation,
right,
who you're working for, yes.
Yes.
They will fuck it up, but it is, I don't know. I like the suggestion that, like, popular movies can also be seen as pieces of art.
Yeah. Because
they can be. And like you were saying, Jack, of like the movies that we remember certain years by are almost never the Oscar winners, or
right,
very
right,
rarely.
Right.
So I don't know. Let's see. They're going to fuck it up, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it would be weird if like Blockers won an Academy Award. And I'd be like, yo, that movie was tight.
Blockers was good.
Yeah, but then
Game
I'm like,
Night?
Yeah, right. And then you're like,
right,
but Academy Award? I guess then now it forces us to shift our even perception of the Academy Awards.
That's
more than
true.
Anything. Is
right.
Like,
and
yeah,
I feel like comedies would, like, breakout comedies that are actually really good would maybe be considered now instead of being just fucking.
Right, like Girls Trip or something like
Girls
that.
Girls Trip.
Right.
Yeah, Bridesmaids. Like,
yeah,
feel like that's a good example of like something that totally captured the zeitgeist, was a artistic success, and you know, just didn't, because it wasn't serious and because it had a scene where everybody shit themselves. Because like,
what if women poopy as well?
Like, yeah,
so brave.
Okay,
so
we'll
brave.
Put Broad City on the air.
Right,
a moron.
Jamie.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you.
Oh, it's great to be here, always.
Always.
I sleep under the desk.
I know.
What? Where can people find you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Tweet I enjoy is by, I'm pretty sure, former guest Demi Adigiribe at Electro Lemon. He made a great tweet the other day. He said, I like Beach House because it's trap drums mixed with the background music of an 80s after school special set at the aquarium. I love that tweet, and Demi's the best. I'm on Twitter.com, unless I get booted again, at Jamie Loftus Help, and my new show on Super Deluxe comes out next week, and it's called Robot Takeover.
Dog.
Hell yeah.
French a dog. A fake dog.
All of Jamie's work is incredible. She has a series on Comedy Central that you should be watching. What's that called?
Oh, that's called Irrational Fears. It's,
yeah.
And the so Bechdel good. Cast.
Yeah. And the Bechdel Duh. Cast is Doi. Incredible.
Doi.
Doi.
Wally.
Oh, wah,
Thank you for
bringing us to our next point.
Yeah, Miles, what's something you've been enjoying lately?
Oh, well, speaking of Demi, shout out to Kirsten over at the Late Late Show. I know you'd be listening every day, Zeitgang out here. But rather than a tweet, I don't know if you noticed, today when I started the show, I didn't do the usual, yeah, I went, yeah, because there's a song by Disturbed called Down With The Sickness.
Right.
And in it, right before like the real heavy guitars drop in, you hear the dude go, oh, wow. Ah! Okay, everybody might know that if you were alive in the 90s. Now, I have to share with you one of my favorite YouTube clips because I forget why Jamie was just doing it this morning. I'm like, have you seen the clip of the dude doing it at karaoke and absolutely fucking it up? So rather than a tweet, I want to share with you a YouTube clip called Down With The Sickness Karaoke. Now, again, the original... The lead singer just crushes it with the ooh-ah. Now listen to this little bit from a man at karaoke. And, you know, he just basically nails it. So here we go. Oh, shit. It's
Bill. Get ready.
Hit me.
Get ready. There's so many things I love about that.
One more time. So
it
yeah,
slows down.
Ooh, wah, ah, ah, ah.
Okay. Wait, does he do it twice in the video?
No, in the video they just edit it to be with the actual song, just so you can hear how awful that was. But yeah, good for you, Mr. Down With The Sickness. Yeah,
that I have so much karaoke anxiety. And Demi does karaoke all the time very well, and I will never go because I get too scared, and that it's because I would be that person.
Yeah, well, he was that person.
Ooh,
and
wah,
if you're looking for more ooh, wah, from me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter, and some tweets I've been enjoying. Pixelated Boat tweeted, finally... and screen capped a headline that he wrote, obviously, that said, Academy Awards add new category, best film where a guy jumps a motorbike through a window, then says, bike to see you. And then Dan Gerwich commented on a real headline. The headline was Luigi dies in new Nintendo Super Mario Smash Brothers trailer, but this is why it doesn't matter. My favorite type of internet headline. And he wrote, is it because it's a video game? Which is good. Fuck
he those. Writes for John Oliver, doesn't he?
I think he does. Yes, he does. Yeah. And you can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We have a merch store where you can get what I think we're calling Zeit Gear or Zeit
Wear.
Zeit Garb. Anything. Yeah. Whatever
I
you want to call it.
I love the Zeitgang shirt so much.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah.
And
be like me.
Yeah. So go check that out. It's on TeePublic. Just search Daily Zeitgeist on TeePublic, I guess. What is it?
TeePublic.com/TheDailyZeitgeist.
There you go.
Boom.
Check it out. And you will find our footnotes in the description of this episode where we link off to the information in today's episode as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that?
Oh, today let's ride out on a song by Washed Out from his album Paracosm. And it's called It All Feels Right because... That just sums up the mood right now. It all feels right, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'm down with the sickness, personally.
You are down with the sickness, and I knew that. And so thank you for that. But yeah, It All Feels Right by Washed Out.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.